My name's Howard Hudson, editor at UN New Merit. I'm joined today by Evans Mupela, who last week defended his PhD thesis entitled Connectivity and Growth in Sub-Saharan Africa, The Role of Communication Satellites. Apologies in advance for the poor line.
In your PhD, you explore how satellite technology can improve mass connectivity and so contribute to the economic growth and development of African economies. Which countries did you focus on, and what alternatives are there to satellite technology?
In my PhD, I basically focused on countries south of the Sahara. I explore connectivity issues related to satellite technology. And what my contention is here is that in sub-Saharan Africa, most of the other technologies actually eventually do depend on satellite technology. Take the cellular service providers, mobile telephony, WiMAX, and fiber connectivity. Eventually, they do depend on satellite technology to spread their services to areas they cannot normally reach with the range provided by the alternatives. So there are alternatives, but these alternatives eventually come to depend on satellite technology in Africa.
So they're locked into the satellite technology, basically.
That is what I'm trying to say. They are locked into satellite technology, and it looks like this lock-in is a little bit difficult to run away from. One, because of terrain and reach issues.
You also say that African countries are dependent on international satellite systems in particular, and
yes,
they charge very high premiums. Will the cost of this access always be so high, or is there any way to increase competition or perhaps drive down costs by economies of scale?
Competition is there. There is competition, but there are more than four satellite operators, as you can see in the table. But of course, the dominant one on the African continent is Intelsat. Mm-hmm. And there have been efforts by other satellite operators, especially private operators from Africa, to actually join in and provide satellite connectivity to Africa of satellites that are not owned by Intelsat and the other big players.
But when you say join in, when you say join in, what do you mean exactly? Do you mean in the production?
I actually mean
the launch. Or?
I actually mean them launching their own birds, as they say, launching their own satellites into space, so that they can actually compete with companies like Intelsat.
How far is that process down the line? I mean, is that this decade?
Like I said, there have been efforts, but most of these efforts have ended in failure. And the most notable failures in this regard have been, of course, the RASCOM project, which has been on the ground for almost 20 years. And as we speak now, we still do not have a RASCOM satellite servicing African service providers, because they did have a launch December 2007. But, of course, the satellite lifespan was reduced drastically from 15 to 2 years because it was not launched properly. The satellite was actually lost. It was useless. And then, of course, the NICOMSAT, the Nigerian a satellite company, which also launched a satellite, and after less than a year, in orbit tracking and telemetry, actually lost contact with the bird, and all services had to be diverted somewhere else.
Right.
To the same old satellites, which we are actually trying to run away from. So it has become kind of a vicious circle. In fact, the latest development was that Intelsat themselves tried to launch from the Guinea launch pad on 30th March, actually, 2011, which actually didn't go as planned. And this satellite, called the New Dawn satellite, it was supposed to provide services to companies like Vodacom, cellular company, mm-hmm. and other service providers on the African continent. This is what I mean by other companies trying to join in. But of course, the current satellite operators are also trying to enhance their capacity to provide even more services to the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
Intelsat is doing this very actively.
Okay, so there is competition there, but it's technical problems which are kind of stalling them at the moment then.
Well, not only technical problems. These satellites are not built by African engineering companies. They are built by the same companies that build satellites for Intelsat, for example. The RASCOM satellite was built by Alcatel.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian satellite, I think, was built by a Chinese company. So they are built by well-known, renowned engineering companies overseas, and they're simply given contracts by African companies that have tried to do this.
Mm.
So it's not only technical problems. I think it is a combination of financial capabilities, technical capabilities, as well as the political will. The political will, I think, is where I see the biggest problem, because this is not normally seen as a problem in Africa, that we actually do not have our own satellites in space, but we depend on foreign satellite operators.
Okay. I mean, coming back down to the ground and how this affects individual people, you did a case study in South Africa which suggests that more widespread access to telecoms is likely to improve per capita household income. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that research was carried out in the cities. Does this also ring true, or could it also ring true for rural communities? And might we expect similar results in other African countries?
Actually, the South African study cut across rural and urban areas. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did in the analysis is that we actually separated or took out the highly developed municipalities, which are called the metropolitan municipalities, which are basically the richer municipalities. And we took them out of the database and ran the analysis without them to see whether we would get basically the same trends. So it is really not easy to separate rural and urban areas, because a municipality will be composed of both rural and urban areas. Mm-hmm. But a clear distinction is actually made between metropolitan municipalities and other municipalities, because metros have actually got a lot more access to economic and infrastructure capabilities.
Okay, so how did that affect people on the ground? I mean, did it also improve per capita household income for rural communities?
No, the trends were basically the same. We found that access to especially mobile telephony had the highest impact. We didn't find much correlation with TVs, computers, and radios, but with mobile telephony, it was actually pretty pronounced.
Could we expect similar results in other African countries? Can you extrapolate this data, or is that not possible?
I think we can extrapolate, because the economic landscape is pretty much the same, especially in the poorer municipalities. Of course, it's a little bit different with the richer municipalities, the metros. That's why we had to treat them a little bit differently. By taking them out of the study. So what we actually, when you take out the metros out of the study, what you are left with is actually very reminiscent of what you will find in other African countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just one last question then. You mentioned how services like telemedicine have failed to take off because of high connectivity charges. What do you think entrepreneurs, governments, and international bodies like the UN could possibly do to foster a climate more favorable to growth and to this kind of connectivity?
Okay, that's a very important question, Howard, and I'm glad that you ask it, because part of my motivation for actually doing this study was to bring the problem to the fore, but also to let people who can do something about it actually start to see it as a problem. There is a lot that can be done, and one of the things that I think we should seriously look at, organizations like the United Nations and other similar organizations can actually do, is lobby the satellite service providers to actually free up or use some of their free broadband and provide it free of charge to organizations and companies that are trying to work in the health sector, mm-hmm. that are trying to use broadband for health services.
So it's using that spare capacity for these vital social services, basically.
Exactly. In my opinion, they won't be losing anything. In fact, they would be gaining a lot.
Do you know how much capacity there is?
Well, it's actually difficult to put a figure on it, because operators do not want to advertise that, that they are not using all the capacity, and then they won't give it if nobody will buy it. But this is, I think, that's the kind of direction we could take as a United Nations organization, to actually probably do a little more research in this area and free up that locked up information and see how it can actually be used for social welfare benefits, provision of vital services like health and education.
Many thanks there to Evans Mupela.